This episode of the Coin Spice Podcast is brought to you by Cash Shuffle, because what you do with your money is your business. To give this new product a try for fungibility and privacy, head on over to electroncash.org, download their latest wallet 4.0.0, and give it a spin. CashShuffle.com for more information, because what you do with your money is your business.
What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the Coin Spice Podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at coinspice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
What is really going on, crypto savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief out of coinspice.io, back with another episode of the Coin Spice Podcast, and this time around I've got Ben Munster. He's a writer over at Decrypt, and he has written what, for my money, is one of the best essays ever published in the crypto space. It's called The Inside Story of SpankChain. And SpankChain, as you may know or may not know and can probably already divine, is that connection between crypto and pornography, the porn industry. And I realize this has been done to death. It is just one of these subjects that continues to reemerge, and it's never done well. It's always silly. There's always some bimbo on the cover or as a featured image, and it just, you know, it just never ends up going anywhere. Ben Munster's The Inside Story of SpankChain is not that. It is a long read. It is profound. It is funny. It is insightful. You get a real sense of the characters. There's an arc to the story. He leaves you in suspense in some places. It's just a fantastic. It's exactly what crypto needs to give it some heft and breadth and depth. In any case, I had a chance to grab him. I'll be honest with you, I don't think he really wanted to be on the podcast, and I think he was even less thrilled that it was Coin Spice. But to his credit, after I bugged him a few times, he just sort of gave in and was like, all right, I'll just do it. He is on a phone all the way in England, and I'm in the United States in the Southern California area, so there's a bit of a delay, and I step on him a couple times during the conversation. But other than that, I think it's a really fun episode, and you're going to learn a ton from Ben and about Ben, and you're going to instantly become a fan. So without any further ado, here is Ben Munster.
I'm sensing some early Hitchens, some flavors of maybe some gonzo journalism of Hunter S. Thompson. Do have any of these guys influenced you at all?
I never read Hitchens. I actually was obsessively reading Hunter S. Thompson while I was writing that piece. But I never read him before. I was reading, what was it? The Kentucky Derby piece. So that's why I kind of use the word degenerate and reprehensible braid quite a lot, because I just had kind of that piece running through my mind.
Yeah, you're channeling him for sure, Hunter S. Thompson, in this. All right, so kind of take us through it then, this, what has been passed around all over crypto Twitter, and I think it's going to make its way, if it hasn't already, outside of our bubble here. So take us, what's the impetus? I mean, you know, besides sex and, you know, all that good stuff, what is the impetus to even consider a project like SpankChain? And I'll tell you my own little connection to it, but go ahead.
It's basically from our perspective, we'd seen so much like shit. It seemed like on one hand, it's this kind of like, it's a porn site, and that's interesting, but it's the fact that at the same time, it seemed to be an almost ironically one of the only apps that actually generated anything meaningful. It actually delivered on the promise of, to an extent, on the promise of kind of decentralized, democratized banking, I guess. It actually unbanked people. Like, there are very few things that, I mean, people talk all the time about banking the unbanked, but I don't hear much about, I mean, you do hear about Venezuelans and people like that, but you don't hear about, on the global scale, people in Africa, for instance, using blockchain to fulfill. I mean, mainly they're using stuff like M-Pesa, right?
Exactly.
banking app for these. And this actually seemed like it actually made sense, which is rare. It made sense.
Yeah, there is kind of an internal logic to it. And I'm such a dolt. I'm such a, you know, it's one of these things where I passed up the chance. I got an early email. I was at the news desk out at Bitcoin.com back then, and I got an early email. It might have actually been from Amin. I don't remember, but I did get an early email. You know, say, hey, you know, we're open to, you can talk with anybody you want to, you know, come kick the doors in, come talk to us, whatever. And I said, this is fucking stupid. This is dumb. Here we are back again at the dumb, what do you call it? A porn thing again. Everybody was covering.
Right, it's picture just another stupid ICO, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then Spank Chain. I totally blew it off. I actually might have even fought an editor too, who I don't trust my memory, but I think they push. Hey, maybe check this out. You know, can we be done with the porn thing already? Like, I get it; it gets clicks and whatever. But let's you know, moving on. There's like you say, there's these gravitas subjects to talk about, at least seemingly, whether it's in Africa or Venezuela or wherever. You know, I'm a serious journalist, and I want to go out and do this sort of stuff. So I totally passed on it, which was a giant mistake. I think you go into it with some whimsy, and you're constantly, you know, winking back at the reader, like, we all know what this is about. But there's some real there, right? Like, they've actually hit on something.
Right. Absolutely.
And can you get into how you how you link into I'm going to butcher his name. Is it Amin Soleimani?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I never actually said his name fully out loud, so you'll get to be honest.
Okay. So he becomes kind of a focal point. Can you tell us a little bit about him and his involvement in all this?
Yeah. I like him. He's an interesting character. He's kind of a contrarian. I don't know if you've seen, he frequently retweets people insulting him, basically. So one of the funniest comments on my article, someone said, this is disgusting. Like, this is exploiting women. Educational resources can be, and just resources generally can be much spent better elsewhere on actual programs for empowering women and stuff like that. And he just retweeted it with the comment, you're disgusting.
So that's actually a nice vignette.
It's kind of fun. I called him a degenerate gamma, and he retweeted that as well. Like,
oh, that's great. And so tell us about this guy. That's actually a pretty good encapsulation of him.
He
actually starts out as something of a wunderkind in Brooklyn with Joe Lubin and the Consensus Hipsters. How does that all come about?
Look, he'd probably be better positioned to describe it than I would, but the sense I got was he was this kind of child prodigy. Well, I don't even know if he was a child prodigy. He was just well liked to Consensus, but he had this what Lubin called a dark presence. I think he was always at a kind of slight angle to the universe. Like he was always somewhat on the periphery, always kind of concocting sort of schemes to undermine the whole thing. And but he does it out of a kind of this mad belief that society faces this sort of potentially catastrophic coordination failure. That's basically the thing that's plagued mankind for all time. So his idea, his obsession, is to basically resolve this. And he didn't think that Consensus was doing enough. He thought Consensus was a great company, but he thought that it was maybe starting a few kind of stratospheres too high, that it should start lower. It should start, so he has a diagram in his presentation which he presented to Consensus, which basically kind of describes the natural progression of technology. I think it starts at drugs, then it goes to porn, then it goes to gaming, then it goes to everything else. And he obviously, Silk Road covered drugs. So he felt that the next logical step was porn. But Consensus had all these kind of lofty ideals about immediately democratizing finance for the entire world, you know, unbanking the unbanked. And I think they'll have merit. But I suppose he wanted to take a kind of realist view and think that what do people actually want? They can now get drugs and Bitcoin massively scaled because of that, at least scaled in terms of usership. And the next thing that people want after that is porn. Like,
yeah, and there's a case to be made for the sex worker. So the analogy to that is that the internet and advances in video tech and that sort of two-way streaming tech, you know, I guess in a sense took a lot of sex workers off the street, quote unquote, and put them into safer confines, at least physically, where, you know, they have a little bit more control over that environment and at least is, again, theoretically safer. And then unfortunately it kind of led for these guys and gals to be more or less beholden in a different way to kind of a new pimp, if you would, a new pusher who is taking the bulk of their earnings. And man, there is a fantastic quote that you were able to pull out of this gal about bankers. Do you know what I'm getting at?
Is that the one where she said these people, they close women's bank accounts and they go home and jack off to the accounts who they just closed?
I almost fell out of my chair. I was just like, there it is. I mean, there it is, right? So that is crypto I just can't think of a better explanation for it. And you can, you know, draw this out, you know, beyond just her rather simple but profound analogy to really every other part of society. But there it is. So these sex workers move to cams, and again, they're safer, you know, comparatively to that. But then they're being jacked for all their money. So how does Spank Chain, you know, address that and become sort of a use case in the way that Amin was talking about in terms of crypto's evolution?
Right. So I guess building on what you said, yeah, that they're no longer kind of confined to working in person with these people, but now they're laboring under a system which is basically completely centralized. I mean, you've got like three major sites that these people depend on. And then I suppose, and those three major sites are also beholden to the even fewer major payments providers like PayPal, and then the banks themselves kind of sit at the top of that. And that obviously constrains them completely. So I guess Spank Chain is just, it exists on the outside of those things.
And they're able to keep substantially more of their money. So the trade-off then is, as a cam girl or cam guy or in essence sex worker could go to a company like Spank Chain and...
Hey, Crypto Savages, this is C. Edward Kelso breaking in with a quick and very shameless plug. CoinSpice.io is a feisty pirate ship. We depend, rely on almost entirely organic growth, which means our audience really does the marketing for us, and there's nothing more powerful than word of mouth. If you read an article you like on coinspice.io, if you listen to a podcast and you enjoy the content, or if you're just pissed, please promote us on social media, wherever you're at, wherever that is, whether it's Reddit, whether it's YouTube, the Telegram, you know, you name it, the Twitter, like us, retweet, all that great stuff. You can always find detailed show notes for every podcast on the corresponding page at coinspice.io. There you'll find links to our respective podcast, your favorite platform like iTunes. Please give us a rating. Please give us a subscribe. You know all that good stuff. It helps the pirate ship remain afloat. It keeps us going. We appreciate it. As always, you can contact me personally if you have questions, concerns, you want to hear from a particular guest, you have a news tip at Kelso, K-E-L-S as in Sam, O, at coinspice.io. Thanks again for listening. We sure do appreciate it. And back to the episode.
You know, the trade-off is that at least at first, they don't have quite the distribution and namesake that, say, a banked a site may have, so it's a little harder to find, at least at first. but the upside is that they get to keep substantially more of what they're earning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially.
And you, there's another great line in that where you talk about them being able to pocket more and keep it in their trousers, which I laughed out loud at. So you actually, you, like you say, you're based in London. You fly, you know, basically across the pond, as it were, 5,000 miles. You actually go to San Francisco and you actually meet these people, right?
LA. But yeah.
Sorry, LA. I got San Francisco on the brain. Right. You went to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And what, just a little bit of the flavor there, what kind of struck you at first about the setup?
About Los Angeles.
Or just the was that actually your first time in LA?
I think I'd been there about 12 years ago.
Oh,
so,
okay. So maybe not.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't, so I'm 23. So I wasn't aware of the, you know, the nightlife. I'd seen Santa Monica Beach from about 6 miles away. The LA in my mind was kind of just this dirty shithole, and then Universal Studios kind of gleaming in the center of it, but it's also incredibly fake in its own right. And I kind of think my second time corresponded with that. It's a weird place. It's kind of there's a lot going on, but at the same time it felt a little empty.
And it's kind of the perfect place for Spank Chain, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
And so you go to the Spank House. There's so many great puns. The Spank House, and you do what I tell journalists all the time to do, which is maybe even unwittingly, you actually experience this, right? You actually get involved.
Yeah, I went on cam.
Yeah. And you actually wound up meeting some pretty interesting figures there. You make a little bit of money, and you get to sort of see how it works, you know, taking it for a test spin. Do you think that maybe that is the difference between, say, writing about a subject, you know, looking up on Wikipedia, maybe emailing back and forth from a you know, a particular project or whatever? Do you think it makes all the difference in the world to actually go out, experience it, and actually use the product?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, imagine if I'd just emailed Soleimani. I mean, I would have got the kind of the press release top line at best, really, wouldn't I? Like, it's just better to actually be there. And I think the fact that I could test it out myself really reflects the kind of the mission statement of the article, which is that we're trying to find something that actually works. And the fact that I was able to make $26 going there and using it. So yeah, on the one side, there's the fact that there's being able to actually use the app, which is a rare thing in cryptocurrency, because there's very few apps that work or do anything and actually to earn money on it. But at the same time, yeah, you have the environment, you're able to get to know the people, you're able to kind of see all the weird things they do when they think you're not looking.
It really does work. I mean, did you find any hiccups with it? Did you find it to be clunky at all, or was it more or less as advertised?
Well, yeah. I mean, all I did, it's a webcam. They put up a webcam, and I just did my horrible attempt at seducing all six of my viewers. So, and you know, so it was really. It was easy to the point of there was nothing I had to do. So there was just an account, and I set it up. I mean, I'm not living on this app. I didn't.
Sure.
I didn't do a full working week on Spank Chain. Maybe that would have been better. Like, so I didn't really experience, you know, earning booty tokens, converting them to dollars,
right?
Massing followers and all that stuff.
but you did in fact earn some money on it, and they're actually. Yep. They're meted out in, you called booty tokens, BOOTY tokens, which again, all the puns from Spanktoshi Nakabooty to booty tokens. Just, I mean, it's just a never ending font of writing subject here. But they actually earn the booty token, and so it again, it does what it says it's going to do, and it doesn't have these lofty goals to change the world and save the world. They just want to make the experience better for everybody involved. Have you had any pushback on the piece? Has anybody like criticized you for paying so much attention to it?
Besides the woman who said it was disgusting, no, actually. Well, I mean, no, I haven't. Nothing directed at me. Most directed at Amin. Just I think the same thing. He gets every day. Yeah, it's been pretty good, positive. Because I've kind of disavowed it myself a little bit. Just from a statistic perspective, I just read it and I just see 50 lines that I wish I'd written differently, stuff like that. But
yeah,
from others' perspective, nah, not really. It's kind of
it's great, man. It really, really, really is fantastic. There's a really interesting part towards the end there where you talk about his general ethos, where they're actually hacked for something like $30,000. And his response is really, really interesting. And I think counterintuitive to how most people, especially from the financial side of crypto, think about things. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that part was actually more interesting. We actually had to cut a bit because we couldn't verify it. But so Wills, the guy, the co-founder, he told me that basically what he did when the hacker made the hack, he told me, and I couldn't. It's kind of it lacks credibility, so we didn't include it. But he basically said that he had a contact. He said higher than Trump. I mean, I can't even think of anyone higher than Trump, but. Who he called, who managed to track down this hacker through some digital backend that nobody knows exists, and that's how he was actually able to get the hacker's phone number. Because it's that's kind of like if you read the story, that's a glaringly confusing aspect of it. I mean, how do you track down a hacker, an anonymous hacker?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I mean, who? Unless you work for the law enforcement, you subpoena an exchange, or I don't know, like that's not something that's easily done or ever done. Really.
It's definitely not. It's not easy, but it is definitely doable.
You know, the guy who's higher than Trump, I guess.
Exactly. So what is Spank Chain's response then to being
Spank Chain's response to what
to being hacked? It's a very, very unconventional.
Right, so they tell the hacker, you can keep all the money you stole, or a third of it, if you just tell us what the vulnerability was. And he does, and they give it to him. And then he finds another vulnerability where he's eyeing up another $4,000 he's able to steal, and they're like, all right, take it, and then we'll give it to you for free. And he does, and they do.
That is a...
So they turned him from a black hat hacker into a white hat hacker, just kind of...
Yes.
It's funny. Amin's mastery of incentives. He's obsessed with incentives, all the Moloch stuff. I don't know if you've read Meditations on Moloch. I'm still struggling through
it. I did because of you. Yeah,
you read the whole thing?
No. I read aspects of it, but yeah. Yeah, it's an unbelievable way that I try to explain sort of the cypherpunk hacker ethos, because it's taken on a pejorative, or as you've separated it now, white hack hacker, a hat hacker rather, and black hat. That these guys are all about the go of things. They're in essence engineers or tinkerers, and so they like to know how things work backwards and forwards. And I think a lot of people, especially from traditional finance or just from other aspects of society, are so litigious. They're so, you know, we're gonna, you know, call the cops. We're gonna get the courts involved. That they miss an opportunity to, like you say, bring somebody in, perhaps, but also that in a weird way, that hacker was doing them a favor. And this really does cause some cognitive dissonance with people who read that kind of stuff. But here you have Spank Chain going, wait a second, you know, I can, you know, clearly I'm smart enough to track your stupid ass down and find you. So I could definitely make a case to have your ass arrested. But let's not do that. Explain to me how you came about, you know, finding this vulnerability. Give me the money back. I'll pay you he turns it into a bounty, essentially. And then they turn on to have another relationship. Now, I don't know if that has broader implications for the wider world, but it gives you a really, it's a, such a wonderful addition to that piece. It really gives you a sense of how this guy thinks and why he may be a very, very, very important figure beyond just porn going forward. Well, I said I was going to keep you on for half an hour, and I've certainly violated that. You've been extremely kind. Where can people find your work?
Just go on to critmedia.com.
Boom. And you're also on Twitter. And
look at Tim's work as well.
For sure. And you have a daily debrief, right?
Yeah. So I've got a newsletter that goes out every day except the weekends. And you can sign up for that. It used to appear on the website, but it's now just an exclusive newsletter.
Boom.
I know.
That's awesome. So we kind of. Well, thank you.
That was good to talk to you.
Yeah, same. And you know, you put a lot aside because I know you're a super busy guy to do this. So I definitely appreciate it. Thanks again, Ben, for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. Have a good one.